by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's fishing time in Wyoming. It's time to get out on the boats, out on the water, maybe float the river if you're brave, because it's probably still chilly. And we bring Janet Millick into the mix today. Again, Janet, thanks for coming on, as always.
Drew, what are you talking about, been chilly? You know that we have had some of the best spring weather that we have had in years, hot and dry and all sorts of things.
And now, have you been out on the river floating, Janet, your bikini and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not the North Platte River, but maybe some other rivers around the state. But yeah, it has been pretty fantastic. And kayaking and drift boating and fishing and walleye angling in particular has been so hot this year. It is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of anglers that a lot of the places around Casper, the reservoirs that we have really been fishing well this spring already, and I've heard of personal best records at Glendo on
some of the
boats. I mean, there's some big fish and a lot of fish being caught out of there.
That just means one for Janet. Is that what you're going to say again when you let everybody know my records? Yes. No, you know, it is true. Things have been hot and spicy, and not only for anglers that are out there, but also for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. We have been, gearing up and doing a lot of our annual sampling that we do. We do trend netting both in the spring and the fall across many of the reservoirs of the state. And this year we're doing something extra special. We're doing some more science to learn some more about the Glendo waters. And I have two fantastic people here, Nick Hoberg and Tiffany Schism. Did I say that right? Schism. So I'm going to start over. And, you know, we have two fantastic people here that are doing the science behind Glendo, and wanted to have Tiffany Schism and Nick Hoberg talk to us about some things that are going on with walleye in Glendo.
Glendo has really put a star on the map of Wyoming for walleye fishing. Tiffany, I know you guys have been out, and just like the hunting side of things, you never stop. It is an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing effort to collect all the information you can, and you've even been pulling some late nights.
Yeah, definitely. End of March and early April, we started our nighttime electrofishing. 2 weeks ago was our most successful. We were able to get three boats out almost every single night. And I think we got a total of around 3,600 walleye and about a dozen sauger. But I know we have plans to shock the river here soon as well. Yeah.
You should see these guys, Drew. Like, they're out there in the middle of the night in the snowstorm, shocking this, you know, water, pulling out walleye, weighing the walleye, measuring the walleye for length, and then they're clipping a fin and they're tossing them back in. And, you know, you watch them try to do this stuff, and they have, you know, their headlamps on, there's electricity buzzing in the water, the snow is hitting them in the face, and it just makes me wonder sometimes why these folks do what they do, but the love for that fish is out there for sure.
It has to be exciting because you get into this line of work because that's what you love. You know, you want to find out more things about walleye and sauger and fish and you know, the wildlife. How was it for you? Was this your first real experience of getting out there and get your hands in the water, Tiffany?
So last season I was on the AAC crew, which is the aquatic assessment crew for Game and Fish, statewide. So I got to do a lot of electrofishing. Only one time was at nighttime though. A lot of it was just kind of rafting through the river. So it was really fun, and I'm a night person in general, so it kind of works great for me. But yeah, I think it's one of the most fun and exciting things that we get to do.
Tiffany's not out clubbing at night. She's out on the water.
Exactly.
Electrofishing, but
the stories that her friends must hear are a little different, right?
Yeah, right. Nick, you've been doing this a long time, so there's a lot that goes into the science of all of this. And I know that you guys are really putting your heads together on a lot of different avenues. And what are we expecting to get out of the results of this research?
Yeah, sure. So
The management of harvested fisheries, I guess, kind of has two sides to the coin. If you think about it, we have our population monitoring like we do every year with our gill netting to look at trends and what the fish population is doing. And then the other side of managing that fishery is looking at the human element of it and what the harvest dynamics are. And so it's not something that we look at quite as often as the population side of it, but on some interval, we need to evaluate the harvest that anglers are pulling from the fishery to evaluate trends we've seen since the last time it was looked at and evaluate the current regulation and see, evaluate the sustainability of what we're seeing. So that's what we're looking at now. And it, we're actually a few years behind when we had planned on doing this. It was last done in the year 2000. So I think you could probably agree that angler behavior and use has changed a lot since the year 2000, just in terms of the number of people that come to Glendo, the technology that they have at their disposal, and their attitude toward harvesting fish. All those things are likely to be different over that time frame. So that's really what we're looking at to get here. We're looking to see, we'll be able to estimate the total harvest that comes out of the fishery in the open water season at least, and then potentially look at some stuff during the ice season as well. And we'll actually be able to estimate the proportion of the walleye population that is being harvested through the fishing season. And so then we have some tools at our disposal. We've got techniques that we can model different fishing regulations to see what response we might expect to see in the population if we were to tweak a regulation, and ultimately come down to decide if what we're doing right now is sustainable, or if it's providing the fishery that the anglers desire, or if we would need to go in a different direction to get where we want to be.
You mentioned that it's been 25 years since this has been done. Are the numbers drastically different?
Well, we had no sauger in the year 2000. And then the walleye population is, as most people that are familiar with Glendo know, that walleye population tends to swing up and down pretty widely, depending mostly on water years and gizzard shad survival and things like that. So I think the walleye population is relatively similar to when it was last done, but the sauger are a complete addition since then. And I also think we haven't yet seen the full extent of what sauger will do. I think they're still kind of filling their niche in the system. There's, new enough and still kind of filling the void that they're ultimately going to fill. So we haven't yet really seen what they'll do, but the walleye population varies, but I think it's pretty similar to what it was back when this was last done.
So Nick, on a situation like this, you're doing the electrofishing, why at night?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it all comes down to the methods we're using along with walleye behavior. I think any listeners that are familiar with the way walleye operate, they tend to move deeper in the water during the daytime when it's daylight, and then move up shallower at night to chase minnows and prey and whatever. So with our electrofishing, when we're trying to catch as many fish, as efficiently as we can, that electrofishing only really, affects fish down to a few feet below the surface, maybe like 6 or 8 feet down is about all it can reach. So it's really just a matter of capitalizing on the fish behavior when they're moving in shallower to search for prey. It allows us to more efficiently capture them with the electrofishing tools that we have. So ultimately we catch way more fish per hour of sampling than we would in the daytime.
When you're finished with the research this time, how long will you wait until you do it again?
That's hard to say. I think when you look around the state, it's generally done every 10 to 15 years. And it just, for a number of reasons, it got pushed off at Glendo. But it'll sort of depend on what we find and how urgent we feel a change is needed. If everything looks like status quo is no problem, then we probably won't feel as much pressure to do it again urgently, but if we make a change, that results in a regulation change, we would probably want to reevaluate it, you know, in another 8 to 10 years to see if our change, you know, improved the fishery.
So it definitely is an exciting time. And Tiffany, you've been out there, you've been hands in the water, you've been doing this. Now, what's the next step of your research?
Yeah, so we actually started the creel surveys on April 15th. So we're going to do that through the summer and fall.
What is a creel survey, Tiffany? Like, what does that entail?
Yeah, so as boats are coming back in, we'll catch them when they're getting off the ramp, and just interview them, basically asking how many fish they caught, both what they're keeping and not. And then for the walleye and sauger, we're measuring them and then checking to see if they have those fin clips or not. And that will help us later with our estimates and seeing how those populations are doing.
So you're telling me there's going to be a lot of red shirts hanging around the dock when guys are getting off the water?
Yes, definitely.
And I want to remind everybody that these red shirts that are going to be hanging around on the docks a lot between the aquatic invasive species inspections and also those doing this creel survey are not law enforcement. Don't panic. Although there may be some law enforcement out there, not saying that they won't be, but really just the biologists out there helping make fishing better for them. And so all the cooperation and kindness that people can muster up after a day of fishing would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it only benefits the future of the fishery. That's really why you're out there doing this.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can tell by Tiffany's voice, she is very kind. She's very quiet. She's very shy. They're young kids, right, that are out there doing this stuff. They're still finding their voice. They're still, you know, learning how to interact with the public and have some confidence. So, again, as much patience with these young kids as possible is greatly appreciated, because what they're doing, again, Drew, like you said, will only help in the long run for the fisheries. And, you know, they're really having fun getting to know all the anglers out there so far, since they just started 10 days ago, or I guess 2, 3, 4 weeks ago now. I can't count, apparently. But, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of fun to hear when they come back to the office, and they're meeting a lot of the anglers that we know as well. And so it's kind of fun to be like, oh, Larry caught 5 today. He had a great day. And so, you know, just kind of keeping that stuff in mind is really fun.
Yeah. And of course, you know, all the hard work that goes into this pays off at the end. So you want to find out more information, you can always hit up wgfd.yo.gov and get all the information that you need. And guys, thank you so much, and congratulations on a first half of a great research run.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Drew and Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. We are in the thick of things, Brian. Last week you were in a tournament. This week we've got the Glendoe tournament going on, and the weather has just been as wild and crazy as it ever could be.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to see this sunshine and some of this nicer weather, because these May tournaments, a lot of times we're, you know, waking up to 2 inches of snow, but... You know, call it global warming, call it a shift in the, you know, atmosphere, whatever the case is. But we've got a gorgeous weekend right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I've heard a lot of people say that, like at Glendoe, if you're going to camp, this is the last weekend where you can just show up and grab your spot and pay for it. You have to make reservations after this.
Yeah, and if you haven't been on that reservation system, well, for one, we sell the park passes, the day use passes, and the camping permits. So you can get that done here. And especially if you're not a computer person and you don't want to have to go through the process of registering yourself, we can certainly help you out with that. But then you still need to go on. There are some first-come, first-serve camping spots available at Glendoe. However, the reservation system is, you know, is the better way to go. But You can reserve spots out 90 days in advance, I think, down there. So and when you look at the calendar for available dates, majority or a lot of those camp spots are already taken.
Yeah, and with Memorial Day coming in July 4th and then Labor Day, so all the big weekends, you got to go ahead and make sure you get in on that. But while you're also coming into the store, you got to make sure you have your fishing license and got to make sure you have those ORV tags.
Yeah, basically your one-stop shop for taking care of all those permits and that type of stuff. And, you know, if you're not sure that you're going to use an annual permit or not going to use it enough, I mean, for me, just like once I've got my permit, I make sure I use it, you know.
Yeah.
So they do have day use pass or pay stations now down at Glendo's, so you can throw a credit card in there, put your license plate number in there, and, you know, go that route as well. But it certainly is handy just having that sticker on your window and being able to get in and go.
Yeah, especially if you're going to do, you know, like maybe a day trip a couple of times, it pays for itself really, really quickly. And make sure you stop in here and get everything you need for that camping trip, too, because you don't even have to have any camping gear and can come in here and leave fully prepared.
Oh, yeah. Grab the shopping cart as you walk in. You'll be able to get your sleeping bag, a cot, a pad, a camp stove, a lantern, propane fuel. Yeah, it's a one-stop shop for sure.
Yeah, and really, you can even not have to go to the grocery store because you could just get some of the MREs that are here. And the, I mean, it's literally, you don't have to go anywhere else.
If I'm going to go to the lake, I'm going to have a barbecue going. I'm going to cook me up some steaks, maybe some brats. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not eating an MRE.
Well, you can come in here and then head down to Frank's and get your meat there.
Maybe some Mountain House for dessert.
There you go. Know? Those are the ice cream sandwiches, I think, are pretty darn good, aren't they?
Granola, yeah. And granola, yep.
So obviously, when you come in here to the store, there's options everywhere. And, you know, we talked about camping, but hiking is a big thing now because even up on the mountain, you said that there's quite a bit of brown and dirt and mud.
Yeah, we're starting to, you know, have some of that snow melt off. So camping and hiking season up there is going to kick off as well. Again, you want to be prepared because you're not sure, you know, if you're going to need leather boots or muck boots or if you can get away with just a hiking shoe. So, you know, be prepared for whatever type of weather you might see. And then this time of year, for sure, you know, those afternoon thunderstorms, you know, tend to roll in and roll out. And, you know, every once in a while, the wind kicks in. So if you're not layered properly, it's not going to make for an enjoyable weekend.
Yeah. And we were just talking about, you know, looking at the forecast, you can't look 2 or 3 days in advance in Wyoming because it changes 2 or 3 days in advance.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, keep an eye on it, but, you know, the weatherman is just the weatherman and they're just predicting, you know, patterns. And so be prepared. And, you know, especially, you know, we get some bright sunny days. You know, I was on the water last weekend and, you know, kind of cloudy in the morning, didn't even think about putting sunscreen on. And before you know it, you're like, boy, why am I, yeah. My face sore to the touch?
Yeah. Well, and you guys have the apparel that can really counteract that sun because SPF, you know.
Yeah, we've got some great sun shirts. And actually last weekend, you know, I got one of the sun shirts with the hood on it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you kind of look like a gangster. But, it keeping that sun off the tops of the ears and off the back of the neck is awfully nice.
It sure is. Stop on in here and check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And remember, you need some footwear. They've got footwear, too. And you guys carry the footwear from, is it Fog Tog, I think, that they have the waterproof and you can walk through water with it.
Yeah, we can, not on, but we can walk through.
Through
for
it,
sure.
Yeah.
the Frog Togs, you know, and the waders and wading shoes, all that type of stuff. So if you're a fly fisherman and you need a replacement set of waders, or whether you're, you know, just taking the floating down the river and you just need a pair of shoes to kind of keep the rocks off your feet, Frog Togs makes a pretty decent shoe for that as well.
Well, get out here and check it out. I mean, if you need it for the outdoors, they've got it here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And always, you can go check them. Follow them on Facebook. The Facebook page is up. It's Rocky Mountain Discount Sports Casper, right?
I believe that's the one now. Yeah, we got banned and nixed. So we'd really appreciate anybody to go in there and like our page and follow our page because our previous page was completely shut down by the old Facebook people for posting a Black Friday ad.
Thanks, Zuckerberg.
November. Yeah, thanks a lot, Zuckerberg. Hope you never get robbed.
And hey, I noticed on your Facebook lately you've been posting some special deals that you guys have been having. So it's kind of like having a special ad.
Yeah, just we're usually trying to, especially when we get new product in, trying to kind of take some pictures and update people on maybe some of the new lines of stuff that we're getting. And if you haven't, you know, again, we're just trying to rebuild that Facebook page now. So we're not going to flood you with a whole bunch of stuff. But if you're kind of curious as to what types of products we carry, it's a good way to just kind of scroll through some of those pages and the pictures and some of the past posts.
And a great way to reach out if you have questions about anything that, maybe you need in the store or want in the store.
Yeah, we do get a lot of questions through there. And on our website as well, there's a contact us feature on there, as well as, you know, the online shopping. And that online shopping is really good for all of our shooting sports. It doesn't have our fishing inventory in there. It's just way too much to try to upload for a little store that we are. But if you're looking for a certain gun or certain ammunition, hearing protection, some targets, that kind of stuff, most of that you'll be able to find right there on the website.
Check it out, RockyMountainSports.com.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, we talk a lot about fishing because it's right in the middle of it. As a matter of fact, this weekend is the Stampede, and next week we'll have a recap off of that. Last weekend you were in Boyson and part of that tournament there with the Western Nebraska Walleye League or circuit.
Right.
How'd that go, by the way? Was that a...
You know, we had a great time. And that's first and foremost. You know, I like to say I've somewhat lost my competitive edge. I love to compete, but yeah. I'm also not going to tear myself up over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learn something every time I go out. We actually had a really good pre-fishing, fished with old Dave Banzoff out of Glen Rock. And, man, we fished well together. It just works out great. We caught a lot of fish on Thursday and Friday. Nothing over 22 inches. The previous Wednesday I had a 26 incher, or the guy I was with did. You know, it's such a huge body of water. It's so hard. I mean, and we're looking at clear water on the north end of the lake where you could see down 15 feet, 12, 10 feet anyways. And then you go down to the south end of the lake where the causeway comes across and the river comes in. Boy, it's like chocolate milk down there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the wind would pick up one day and the chocolate milk would shift from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. And so, you know, you have to kind of like, you're putting all these things together, you know, water temperatures 5 or 6 degrees warmer on the south end of the lake. And then you're looking at whether or not, you know, well, am I still confident that there's going to be fish in this murky, dirty water, or do I need to find a little bit clearer water with, you know, same kind of temperatures. And, so anyway, Saturday morning, we got into our first spot, and man, we launched at 7, and by 7:38, we had 7 fish.
Wow. So you're thinking it's on like Donkey Kong.
And just like we typically do, you know, we threw back a couple fish that we probably shouldn't have, you know, and then for us, the bite died. Like we only caught 3 more fish the rest of the day.
Wow.
And we were in 15th place out of 22 boats, so not great. But still not a whole lot of like pounds. Like if we would have had a 22 or a better fish, we would have been probably still in that top 10. It was mm-hmm. pretty close race in that middle by weight. And then Sunday, you know, we were last out launching. So we kind of picked some different spots that we had caught fish pre-fishing, but just didn't pan out. And we still caught our 5 fish. But there are some guys, you know, when you have 22 anglers over there, there's 22 really good anglers that are familiar with the body of water, and they're just good sticks. And they're dissecting that lake the same way we are, mentally thinking it out, and they might have hit a spot that just was holding better fish. We never did have a good fish, and most of the guys in that top 10 had a 22 to 27-inch fish to boost that bucket up.
So really, when you're fishing these kind of events, it's like trying to predict the weather, where one day it'll be exactly how you think, and then the next day it throws you a curveball.
Yeah, you know, and you might, you know, pre-fishing we had some wind, and that wind, I literally drained my bow mount batteries down to 0. I think that wind helped us in the clearer water, mm-hmm. and then we didn't have any wind on Saturday and Sunday. And so, you know, we should have thought that through a little bit better and go, boy, no wind. We need to go find some stained water or dirty water. Because when that water is that clear and the sun's up, you know, I think those fish tend to go down a little bit deeper. And Tony Kaiser was fishing this weekend, you know, and they were in some dirtier water, and they were just dragging minnows on a jig head, and they did really well. You know, it's not my type of fishing. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, right.
But I think those fish did kind of move out a little bit deeper because of the sunshine and the no wind. And then the other thing I noticed over at Boysen is it tends to have a good bug hatch. And didn't notice it Thursday, Friday, but at Saturday morning, all of a sudden those mayflies are just swarming and hatching. I'm like, and normally over there when I've seen that, I learned this from another partner of mine, is that when the bug hatch comes out, you know, the worm bite tends to turn on because those bugs are hatching, you know, under the water, coming up to the surface. And then so the fish tend to become a little more suspended, and they're chasing those bugs as they're emerging off the bottom. So there's a lot to think about, you know, and yeah. I mean, sometimes you just get lucky. And again, we had a great time. Boat ran good. The equipment worked good. You know, we scratched our head a lot. And, you know, the camaraderie in the evening with, you know, cooking up steaks and burgers, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff is always great.
So. Well, and that's why it's called fishing and not catching, right. Obviously, you know. But when you're out anytime on the water, it's a good time. And in Wyoming, we have a lot of locations. We talked about the Wyoming Walleye Stampede is in full swing now this weekend. The first weekend, we'll kind of recap that next week. But if you were going to give us the Brian Woodward top five places in Wyoming to go walleye fishing, what would be on your list?
Well, I tell you, so there was about a five-year stretch that I fished the Masters Walleye Circuit, was sponsored by Cabela's at the time, and I got to see a lot of the country. I will honestly tell you, pound for pound, Glendale Reservoir is still by far one of the best fisheries for average fish. Like, let's just say 17 to 20 inch fish. Your catch rate is going to be higher than a lot of places across the country. So Glendale by far is kind of like the number one. I mean, mm-hmm. it's versatile. I think you can catch fish however you like to fish. If you're a guy that likes to run bottom bouncers and just run worms or minnows behind a bottom bouncer, there's spots on the lake that you can catch fish doing that. If you like throwing jigs, if you like swimming jigs over the top of weeds, if you like trolling, very versatile, and it allows anglers of all different varieties to catch fish.
Right.
So I do love Glendale. I think that trophy fish, Glendale just has so much pressure that I think, you know, we don't see a lot of 30 and 30 plus inch fish.
Right.
However, I think Pathfinder is a great opportunity for a personal best over 30. Seminole also is a great reservoir for your overs. Boysen is good for the variety of fish. So if you're looking to catch walleye, trout, crappie, perch, catfish, ling, that's a great multi-species lake. Keyhole is good for walleyes and crappies. If you like panfish, the crappie fishing there is probably one of the best in the state. So in the state, I would say Wyoming's Glendale's number one for me in Wyoming. If I'm going to go out of the state, and I will be there in September, I really love Devil's Lake in North Dakota. It's also very versatile. It has, again, you can catch fish numerous ways. In September, it's going to be probably more of a vertical bite with jigging wraps and deeper water presentations. But we might also be pulling some lead core and trolling for some walleyes. We can still cast. But Devil's Lake has, I mean, a lot of different species as well. It's got the walleye. It's got catfish. It's got white bass. It's got multiple species of bass. It's got northern pike. It's an awesome place. And the history behind that thing, I mean, it's a natural lake that just basically overtook towns. I mean, there's islands over there with farm equipment still on there. You know, you can look at your down imaging and see an actual tractor on it. I mean, because the water came up so fast, they just couldn't get the mm-hmm. equipment off of there. It's really a neat area. So I really do like Devil's Lake. Did really well, and I love fishing the Mississippi River out of Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. We fished a couple years there for a couple different tournaments. It's really unique because again, it's a big river system. You know, they've got barges that go up and down. We're talking, you know, those big 300-foot barges. You can go and lock from up or down, you know. So you go into this big lock, and they fill the water up. The water comes up, and then you're up on the upper stretch. The tailwaters are really fun to fish. They've got some good wing dams, you know, fishing, a lot of casting. So that was a cool experience as well. So I do like that one. Cass Lake in Minnesota has some good fishing, and it's really kind of a unique experience there. If you want to have that experience where you can get a cabin with a, you know, a dock right there on the water, so you're not having to take your boat out in and out of the water every day. We did put our boat in the every day, but they did have some pretty cool docking systems there. And then, you know, other like Nebraska, McConaughey, by far, you know, if you're looking for big fish, that's a great opportunity for a 28 to 33 inch walleye, probably. The fish are just coming off the spawn down there in the dam, and I saw lots of great pictures of those fish there. Colorado, nah, too much pressure. I mean, there's some lakes that have some walleye in them, but I'm not going down there. I'd rather stay away from people. But yeah, that, and then of course Fort Peck, if we're going north into Montana. I just had a friend there last week. He didn't quite get that 30 incher, but a 29 and three quarters.
Oh wow.
You know, so that body of water is great as well. And you know, I'd recommend too, if you're going to try to, you know, hit one of these areas, you might have your own boat, but you know, hire a guide, you know, do a day to see how the locals fish. When I was traveling with the Masters Walleye Circuit, you know, two things I usually would do when we talked about it before, I'd go get a haircut because the barber always likes to talk about the fishing and, and you know, you're in town. I'm like, yeah, I've never been here before. Oh, you need to try this area over here. And yeah, guys do really good with purple or pink or whatever. They like telling their stories. And then the other thing is go visit the local bait shop.
Right.
You know, because you probably have all the tackle you need. But look and see what they're using. You know, I remember going up to Escanaba, Michigan on Bait and Auk, and walked in there and like the number of big blades that they use for pulling worm harnesses. I mean, I didn't have anything that big. I used the number of small little Colorado blades around here, but they use big blades. You know, a lot of thumping and more sound and vibration and flash. And then they also run a lot of deep bandits because, you know, the water clarity up there is super clear. And so those fish are down a little bit deeper. And so those bandits would run 20 to 25 foot deep. And that's just the technique. You know, most of the time when we're fishing locally, you know, we catch a lot of our fish in 3 to 6 foot of water.
Right.
Or suspended, you know, 5 to 7 foot down. So we're not, you know, in tune to go fish, you know, for suspended fish at 25 foot below the surface.
So you're a guy that has fished in a lot of places, obviously, here. But I noticed the majority of the ones that you just said were from the center of Wyoming to the center of North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. That area seems to be some of the best walleye fishing. You get outside of the Great Lakes where they have those huge walleye or whatever. But, I mean, we live right in the middle of it.
Man, South Dakota has some fantastic bodies of water. I mean, if you just take the Missouri River and you start up at Bismarck and then you go to Pollock and you just work your way down through, you know, Mobridge and Akaska and Chamberlain and Pier. I mean, like, there you can go anywhere on that body of water and find a bite and find, you know, and great boat ramps, great cleaning facilities. I mean, they're just awesome. But if you get off the river system, there's a bunch of just great lakes, like, you know, Wabay Lake in South Dakota. We fished there and had a great tournament. Won one there actually the first year we started fishing the MWC. And not a ton of big fish, but we had two 26-inch fish that, you know, basically capped that tournament off. But the regulations were different. You know, you can only have two fish per person.
Okay.
So everybody here complains, well, I can only keep six fish. Well, try some of these other areas where it's a two-fish limit or a four-fish limit. South Dakota's just got some fantastic fisheries, and there's great fisheries all over, you know. So, you know, you can get to Chamberlain in like 7 hours. You know, it's a nice day trip.
Yeah.
You know, they got a great hotel, casino that you can be right there on the water. a little nerve-wracking sometimes when you're navigating new water. So make sure you have a good Lake Master chip or Navionics chip to give you the contours, and just be cautious. I saw on Facebook the other day some guy was, you know, up at Pathfinder and apparently took out his prop because, you know, the water level was dropping and he just didn't realize.
Right.
But, you know, anytime you're on the water, especially, you know, this time of year, you know, you're seeing some new structure that maybe you haven't seen for years. But yeah, the South Dakota is great. North Dakota is great. Wyoming, Montana. We got within an 8-hour drive from Casper. You can be in some fantastic fishing.
Or within 30 minutes of Casper, you could be in some pretty darn good fishing.
And I tell you what, Alcova, I mean, pound for pound, I mean, the quality of fish in that reservoir right now are great. And this is a good time of year to get in there and try to explore that area a little bit before all the play boats get out.
Yeah.
You know, it gets a little bit... you know, harder to maintain boat control when you got, you know, wakeboards and jet skiers and all that kind of stuff out there. But those fish are so beautiful out of Alcova. I mean, they're just dark green, come out of nice cold water. I mean, they're pretty awesome there.
Well, I'll tell you, if you haven't noticed by now, Brian loves to walleye fish and has some knowledge. So if you're out and about and you need to get a tip on maybe where to go, come on in and check him out at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And you can get a recap of everything we just talked about right now inside our radio station's app.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. And, you know, we talk to Game and Fish every week, but this week we have a bonus segment because there's a big event going on. And when you put Game and Fish involved, you know it's going to be huge. Janet, this weekend is going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. And, you know, we've talked about some of the events that are going on across the state before, things like Mule Deer Days. And now we have Wyoming Outdoor Weekend and Lander coming up.
Yeah, and we brought in a special guest, your bestie, because she's in Lander, and that's Renee Schell. And Renee, you guys have got this great two-day event, and I know Janet is excited about it because she's been pestering me for weeks about it.
Yeah, Drew, thanks for having me on. So this weekend, May 16, 17, we have the Wyoming Outdoor Weekend in Lander at the Community and Convention Center. And it is a celebration of all the things Wyomingites love, right? Get outdoors and how to, you know, some really like learning some hands-on skills. So on that Saturday, we'll have things like fly casting, fly tying, physical training for bow hunting, you know, getting ready for that. How to call a turkey with a contest later. We have a climbing wall, archery, so many things for the whole family, for everyone. And it's free, Drew. It is free. And we would love to see people. It starts on Saturday at 9 a.m., goes through 4 p.m. with all those things I talked about. And then it ends with a big wild game cook-off put on by the Wyoming Wildlife Federation. Live music, again, free. Friday night, if people want to come over and make a weekend out of it, Friday night is also free. And it starts at 4 p.m. It goes till 9. We've got free beer and free food. So if that doesn't motivate you.
I just heard my favorite four-letter F word.
That's right.
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, one starts with a B and one starts with an F. We're all super happy right now.
Exactly.
You know, Drew, that I get to do with this event have always been very exciting. And on Saturday, there's these learning seminars that go on. And Renee mentioned a little bit about them, but it's some of the things like, you know, how to do physical therapy, like physical training, so to speak, for bow hunting and really do it correctly, right? So you learn how to pull and then how to be practicing so that you can get to the right pounds for your hunting adventure this fall. And so those are things that I'm not sure a lot of people are ever exposed to. And so just new, neat, and different things. And we'll all be there and get to answer questions. You know, we talk a lot to Dan Thompson. He'll be around with all of his large carnivore crew. So you can ask all the questions. We'll be doing, you know, the bear spray demonstration where you can try to hit the robo bear as it comes at you with inert bear spray so that you get a ton of practice on those things and just familiar.
with what's going on in the outdoors in Wyoming.
Well, what I really love about it is, well, not only the fact that, you know, there's free options for people, but you're getting the kids involved. And I know that there are a lot of kids that really, you know, want to be like dad or mom and go out hunting. They're just not to that age yet. But with events like this, they can learn everything they need to learn and be ready when that time comes.
Yeah, you are exactly right. And I think keeping them, you know, engaged along the way as they're growing up until they can fully participate is so key. And like you said, whether it's, we've got little tiny bows for archery so they can come out and try their hand at that while mom and dad are in learning about how to, you know, train for bow hunting. So again, really trying to have things for all ages and all people to enjoy.
And if you've been around since Expo days, this is kind of like a mini Expo, right? So we have on the Friday, Renee works with all Lander and all of the schools that surround, and they actually bus all the kids in like we used to do from across the state here in Casper. And really just a fantastic opportunity for those kids to get exposed to a lot of things that maybe they're not ever exposed to. You know, I can remember when I first started with Game and Fish many years ago, it was shocking the number of kids who had never been out of the town of Cheyenne. And so, you know, even traveling to the state park of Kirkgaudy, just right outside of town, was never a possibility. And so this is a fantastic event that shows off a lot of Wyoming, its surrounding areas. And we just really want to invite everyone to come out. And if you don't know much about wild game cook-offs, man, this is the place to be.
WyomingOutdoorWeekend.com is where you can go to find out all the details. There's all of the events that will be there. They will have up the seminars. You can find out which ones you want to mark off on your calendar. And go check it out. It's a great thing to support and get out and enjoy. So, again, WyomingOutdoorWeekend.com. Renee and Janet, thank you so much. I hope it goes great this weekend.
Hope to see everyone there.
Thanks, Drew.
You got it. And another Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors in the books. Of course, if you missed any of this show or our others, you can listen on demand in the radio station's app. Thanks for tuning in.
Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hookin' and Huntin' Outdoors.